Welcome in now. It's today in the Napa Valley, your Chamber of Commerce, Napa Edition. I'm Ira C. Smith, and we've got an interesting program for you today. So settle back, relax, and just enjoy what we bring forth. And hopefully you have a great time just listening in here today. Going to talk about some Napa cider, some hard cider. We're going to have our senior chaplain from Napa County coming in. You may not have even realized that we have one, but we do, and he's been very busy. And just a lot more your way, too. Lauren Mull will be sitting in with us today, as he does on the Judge Show on Tuesdays. So before we get started with our first guest, let me tell you about some things from our Napa Chamber of Commerce. First of all, coming up next month, January 31st, will be the 131st Annual Meeting and Awards. This is part of the Chamber's way to welcome in the new board members and to hand out awards. But you are the ones that get to vote for the awards to find out who the winners are this year. One of the categories is Large Business of the Year, and those that are nominated, AUL Corporation, the Bank of Marin, Olay Health, the Wise Men Group. Then there's a category called Small Business of the Year. This is from the Compline Wine Bar, Restaurant, and Merchants, Don Perico's, Green Cleaners, SIMED Corporation, Wonder Boutique. In customer service, you select what you would consider, who you would consider the person of the year. Erica Fernandez from Astra Digital, Karina Hurtado from Alcar Human Resources, Maggetti Rinaldi from Maggetti Renee Boutique, Giovanni Scala from Bistro Don Giovanni, and Michelle Whetstone from Whetstone Wine Cellar. If any of these names sound familiar and sound like somebody you'd like to vote for, just go to the Napa Chamber website. They also select the member of the year there, and that could be Angel's Restaurant and Bar, 1111 Winery, Napa Valley Marketplace, Tarla Mediterranean Grill, or Visit Napa Valley. Now, I understand that Travis Stanley has added a new category this year, Collaborating Community Champion of the Year. And I don't know about his nominees for that. I think that's one that he selects himself, but that's a new item. But you can vote on the one that you feel would be deserving of the award. But you can do so by just going on to the website, the Napa Chamber website. And by the way, while you're there, you might want to check out the annual labor law seminar that's coming up on Wednesday, January 15th. It's going to be over at our neighbor here at KVON at the Hampton Inn and Suite starting at 8:30 that morning. They're going to talk about rule changes, particularly those that affect businesses in our area. They'll cover new laws. They'll talk about some important court decisions. They'll talk about legal developments and issues that'll be affecting employers of all sizes. It's going to be presented by Richard Rybicki, and whether or not you're a chamber member, you can still sign up for that. It's a need-to-know situation, that is for sure. And now let's move into our first guest and say good morning, as we have with us today, Keith Allen. And Keith, tell us about where you're coming in from.
Good morning. Good to be here, and thank you. I am the founder of Napa Hard Cider Company, located right here in Napa.
Now, wait a minute. We have wineries here. Do we have also a cider winery?
Yes, we do.
All right. Now, how does that compare to a grape winery?
Well, we're using fruit, obviously, like the wineries are as well, and the fermentation process is relatively the same. Although it's a shorter span of time as far as from fermentation to bottle to market.
What is that time factor?
It takes about 12 days to ferment, and then you could bring product out to market within 30 days versus, say, wine, which could be 18 months to 2.5 years.
Wow. Now, before we find out more about your establishment and Napa Hard Cider Company, tell us a bit about your background. Did you grow up in this area or where?
Actually, originally from Southern California, Seal Beach. And after graduating, I worked within the healthcare industry for 23 years, right here actually in Napa at the corporate offices of Day Labs.
And in
2009. Retired from that, and being as how we're right here in wine country and having a passion for both wine and hard cider, thought it might be nice to blend the two.
What can you tell us is the basic difference between cider and hard cider?
Well, hard cider will have an alcohol percent of X. In our case, 6.7. It's below 7%. Wine, on the other hand, of course, can be anywhere from up to, say, 15% for a Cabernet.
Well, let's find out, first of all, where you are located.
We're on Camino Aruga here in Napa.
And where is that?
It's off of Kelly Road.
Okay. So out there near the corporate area?
Correct.
Tell us a bit about what you have at your location there. I mean, do you have your presses or everything that it takes, or do you have to farm some of this out, or is it all pulled together right there?
Great question. So what we do is we contact Fruit Smart, which is in Washington State. We go with a Washington State apple. Washington's known for their apples, as Napa is for their wine.
What varietal apple?
We use a 5-blend proprietary blend. And we put our request in. It's milled, then sent to us in refrigerated containers, and it arrives here within 2 days fresh. It's never frozen, and we never use concentrate either.
Do you have a favorite as far as the Washington State apple yourself? Tough question.
That's a tough one. You know, they're all unique, and the reason why we use a 5-blend is because they all 5 will contribute a taste profile that's then balanced, whether it's the acid that we're looking for, or is it the fruit.
What type of wine would you blend with that, then?
Well, we have 2 right now, and we'll have a 3rd in January. We have a rosé, which actually is Pinot Noir, that is blended with our hard apple cider. All of our ciders are dry, so they're not sweet. So they're dry ciders. And the second is a Moscato blend.
Would that be very sweet?
No, surprisingly enough there, too. We ferment down to a bone-dry hard apple cider. And, of course, Moscato is going to have its own sweet profile. But when you taste the Moscato, I can just say that it's not something that's going to be a sugar bomb.
Now, is this then kind of squished and you get just the juice out of the apple, or what about the peeling part?
When they, much like with grapes, they're going to crush, and in the case of apples, it's mill, so you're getting the straight juice. You're not getting the skins.
What do you receive as far as from Washington?
We receive the 5-blend proprietary blend of apple juice.
So you just get the juice. You don't have to do the pressing.
No. That's what we do next is once we receive, then we add our nutrients and our yeast in our tanks at our facility.
Well, how do you come up with various flavor enhancements?
Well, the only flavor enhancement is the wine. We don't have any flavoroids. We don't have any flavor enhancements that we add. We let the wine that we choose and blend then with the fermented apple juice create our flavor profile. That's all that's in our hard cider, those 2 items.
Nothing in the way of preservatives or sugar?
No sugar. No cane sugar, no additives, no preservatives.
Have you ever used concentrates?
Never. It's just not, when you do that, you have to water back that. And we'd rather go with just the pure juice as we're going with the pure wine.
Well, explain again a little more in detail about this fermentation process.
Sure. So for about 11 to 12 days, the apple juice is fermenting in the still tanks, the stainless tanks. And then we access and taste our wines and choose which particular, in this case, a Pinot Noir, which one we want to add then to the apple juice, and then we'll take percents. We'll take percents of the wine and, say, 10, 15, 17, 18% wine and do a taste blend test and then make our decision on what percent wine is going to go in the fermented hard apple cider. In the case of the rosé, it's 16% wine, and in the case of the Moscato, it came out to 17%.
Hmm. We're talking with Keith Allen from Napa Hard Cider Company and find out about this blend and how you get this different taste. What I wondered about is getting a taste of a hibiscus. How do you do that?
From my experience with those who use hibiscus, they'll typically purchase from overseas a concentrate hibiscus juice, and then they'll blend in. That's not to say that every...
There is a hibiscus juice then.
There's a hibiscus juice that's water-backed with a flavoroid.
Hmm. Okay. What about pineapple? About the same thing, the same with fruits?
With pineapple, you can do it either way. You could go with straight pineapple juice, or you could go with pineapple concentrate. When you use a concentrate, you're water-backing that. So there's two ways you could have a pineapple-flavored hard apple cider.
Now, I know you like to... Just explain to people that you use the best apples from Washington State. How can you be sure that you are getting the best?
Well, Fruit Smart has been in business, in the fruit business, for decades, and they pride themselves on the fruit that they access, the facility that they have with state-of-the-art and service excellence. I'm not the only hard apple cider producer, if you will, that uses Fruit Smart for their sourcing.
Well, let's concentrate now on the two blends that you talked about, the Pinot Noir and the Moscato. Do you have a tasting area where you can compare the different ciders?
At our lab, within the Cider House Winery.
Mm-hmm. You don't have a public tasting area like they have at wineries?
Not yet, but actually for 2020 we will. That's yet to be determined exactly the location, but it will be in Napa. And while there are those visitors here in the Valley or those who live here that wish to do a wine tasting on a given day, they can be a little bit diverse, and they could come by to the Cider House and kind of mix it up a little bit and have a wine hard cider.
Mm-hmm. What size, I don't know if you call them bottles or cans or whatever, do they come in?
16-ounce bottles and 5.28 kegs. We're on tap at a number of facilities here in Napa. In fact, just down here from the studio that we're in, the Forge has it on tap, and Napa Sport has it in our 16-ounce bottles.
So if you go into Napa Sport or one of these places that would have your hard cider, what do you ask for? I mean, do you ask for, hey, what do you have in hard cider, or do you ask for Napa hard cider, or what's the basic thing there?
Usually it's on the menu. It'll have Napa hard cider, rosé, or the Moscato. If it's not on the menu, it might be on a board, for instance, in a tap room. It's a computer screen that has the various beverages that they're pouring, whether it be beer or whether it be hard cider.
Do you know if some of these establishments allow you to have a taste before you purchase something like it, or do you know?
Those that have the kegs, they'll be more than happy to provide for you a sample on the tasting of it. Otherwise, if it's in glass bottle, they would have to open up that bottle, and then, of course, you're charged for it.
Yeah. So which places around here do have the kegs that you can stop by and you know, you don't have to get 16 ounces maybe?
Okay. They're usually pouring a 16-ounce pour out of a tap, just so you know.
Okay.
As far as on keg... Bilko's Billiards.
Okay, downtown.
Silverado the Grill.
Okay.
Sometimes they'll take us off for a holiday season when they're going to be pouring something that's of a different type, but the Grill. Let's see. Live Fire Pizza in Oxbow just recently is going to be putting that on keg. Kennedy, the golf course. Wednesday night, they have a live band and dance. They also have weddings and other events that they have our hard cider rosé on keg there too.
So they have the hard cider one, but not the the dry hard cider with the Moscato?
The Moscato is not on at Kennedy Golf right now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But then the other locations that we have it in glass, 16-ounce bottles, Velo Pizzeria, Embassy Suites, Downtown Joe's, and Bounty Hunter.
Yeah.
Palisades has it on tap as well.
Is that in both locations for there, or do you know?
Palisades, you're talking about Palisades in Calistoga and also in Napa?
Yeah.
Correct. It's in the, in Calistoga in glass. Mm-hmm. But in Palisades here in Napa, when they do have it on tap, it's on tap. Otherwise, they don't have it in glass.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, certainly quite a few. What about some of the supermarkets or grocery stores or places like Ranch Market?
Sure. Ranch Market right by El Posto, just behind it on Highway 29. They have it there. It's also in Yountville at the Ranch Market there, too. Mm-hmm. And CalMart in Calistoga. If you are anywhere in the Oakland area, there's Farmer Joe's. They have it in glass there. In their case, is also they have a floor display.
And this is your Napa Edition. I'm Ira C. Smith. And we're talking with Keith Allen. He's with the Napa Hard Cider. And we've been talking about basically a couple of their blends, or I guess you'd say the wine blend with the apple cider, but something special coming up early next year. Do you want to lead into that, Keith?
Thank you, Ira. We're very excited here for our next production run, which will be in January. And in addition to our Moscato and our Rosé blend of hard apple cider, we're going to have a Chardonnay blend of hard apple cider. So I anticipate we'll be using our same proprietary five-apple blend, fermented bone dry, and then blending in a Chardonnay wine from Napa.
Mm-hmm. So now you get, you mentioned the five blends. Does this stay constant, or are there changes that are made, subtle changes or something in this blending?
It's stayed the same for the two, the Moscato and the Rosé Napa Hard Cider. Mm-hmm. And it will stay the same for the Chardonnay. Where it might change is when we go in with some deeper reds. We do have some consideration for making a Zinfandel blended hard apple cider. So we might anticipate experimenting mm-hmm. with perhaps a different blend of apple juice, based on just the dynamics of Zinfandel, which is so prominent in its flavor profile.
Right. Lauren Mall, have you ever had any cider?
Well, I've had cider under a different brand, though.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I don't know, since we referred to some of this as hard cider, what can you tell us about the difference between this and soft cider, or is such a thing as soft cider, or what would you refer to something that does not have the alcoholic content?
Martinelli's, for instance, is a non-alcohol apple cider, but that does have a higher sugar content. In fact, in our case, we don't, you know, we're bone dry, but non-alcohol apple cider, which you typically would find in 1 gallon containers or other size containers in the grocery stores on the shelves, there's no alcohol there, so it's going to taste much sweeter.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned your location where you do all of this. Do you sell out of your location there if somebody stopped by and make a purchase of a bottle or a case or anything of that nature, or not?
In 2020 here, coming up real short, obviously, we will have that opportunity from a licensure perspective, yes. Right now, our license allows for us to work with distributors or self-distribute.
What's the price point for the hard cider?
On the kegs, it's very attractive, and it's been very well received. It's $98 for a 5.28-gallon recyclable disposable keg, so we don't use the stainless steel kegs. Mm-hmm. It's very convenient for the owner of the restaurant or the tap room. They can simply just discard that in the blue trash receptacles and be away with it. Mm-hmm. The cases of the Moscato and the Rosé, the price point is at 60 and below. It's a volume discount that we can provide as well, too.
So basically, for one bottle, what are you looking at here?
Figure $4 to $5 per bottle.
Wow.
Acquisition cost. And then you see it priced according to the establishment at their price point.
Which would vary, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Well, how can you continue to be assured of your production of apples coming from Washington? What relationship do you have there that you know that you're going to keep getting quality product?
Well, if you pay your invoice in 30 days, you're well received. So I don't have an issue with that. And we have a great relationship. I work with their broker one-on-one. The individual is top-notch, knows his fruit, and is always available whenever I call.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Keith Allen, and imagine you have a few other people working with you there. About how many on your staff?
Three individuals and a fourth that's come on board here recently. We have Ben Perotti, who is a graduate out of Davis Enology, and he's been making wine now since 2016. Keith Haggerty, formerly of Sonoma Cider. And then we have Matt Breen. Matt Breen brings his marketing experience, social media. That's where he focuses in on. And he does participate in our wine production, too. And then recently, a longtime friend of mine, Julian Fayard, winemaker of the year, 2016, has come on board. And he's intimately involved in the production and the sourcing of our fruit, too.
Mm-hmm. What's the shelf life of hard cider?
Well, if you keep it refrigerated, we've had our cider for over a year. And when we open up that bottle, it's still fresh and still tastes great.
Mm-hmm. Any other aspect that you can share with us regarding the Napa hard cider?
Simply that it celebrates Napa with its fruit.
You can bet on it on the label.
Right. People love the label, the design, the name. We've had multiple times where I've gone outside of Napa and have presented it, and the individual who I'm presenting to says, I'll take it. That's happened multiple times before they've even tasted it.
Mm-hmm.
So the packaging is very attractive, and the name, of course, as well. And the fact that it is here produced in Napa with Napa fruit from a wine perspective, mm-hmm. The name speaks for itself.
Yeah. Well, Keith Allen, you're doing quite a job as the spokesperson for Napa Hard Cider. So thank you for sharing your story with us here, since you go back only to 2016 as far as when this was established. Seems like the growth factor has been right there all along.
It's been well received. We like to say that Napa Cider is hard cider for the wine enthusiast.
Okay. All right. Well, Keith Allen starting us off. I've got a lot more coming your way. So, our next special guest will have to be next special guest at a later time, apparently. He hasn't shown up yet. But we have Lauren Mall with us. And Lauren, let's chat a little bit about Operation Welcome Home. I know you're familiar with that.
Oh, our event was so successful this past Sunday. We put together 1,300 care packages for our troops overseas. It was so wonderful. We had a lovely time. Our very own Kelly Fuller, who used to be with us at Broadcast Park, performed the national anthem, as she always does every time. And it was also a bittersweet event because it was the last appearance by the founders of the organization, Ben and Lisa Huntley, because their son had recently retired from the Marines and is now living in South Carolina. So they're going to move over there to be closer to him.
Okay, now all this was happening at the college, or?
Yes, exactly, at the college.
Well, tell us a little bit about the way they had it set up.
Oh, well, we had all these bins that, they have toiletries and playing cards and even these cute little American-style teddy bears. And we all, one by one, the volunteers all put together in the boxes, and then I would announce how many packages we had. From 100 to 200 to 500, all the way up to 1,200.
Wow. And you know what is really impressive is that the locals pay the postage for that.
That's right.
And that gets to be very expensive.
It does.
Now, where are these packages sent to?
All around our troops, from Afghanistan to Iraq to all over.
Are they going to personnel that have connections with the Napa Valley, or just to anyone?
apparently anyone, mm-hmm. based on how I see it.
If locals have someone of their family or friend in the military, can they provide name and address or something to be sure that that person is included?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And who has been coordinating this?
Liz Alessio.
Mm-hmm. And obviously she has a lot of help on that.
Oh, she does. Every time.
Lots of people they're helping out. Did they have sufficient help?
Oh, a lot of sufficient help. We had the Boy Scouts and we had the Color Guard. Mm-hmm. And so it was very successful this year.
All right. Well, glad that the Operation Welcome Home was such a success.
And we look forward to it again next year.
And so what we're going to hear now is a repeat from an earlier interview that we had on today in the Napa Valley. And we'll try to get Chaplain Lee Shaw on at a later date. He's the chaplaincy of Napa County, the senior chaplain, and he works with law enforcement, with fire, with EMS, just so many things. And we thought it'd be interesting to know more about him and some of his involvements with some of the darker days that have been experienced around the country. But in the meantime, let's go to a previous segment. Here we go. More today in the Napa Valley, your Chamber of Commerce Napa edition. And we look so forward to always learning more about Up Valley, as Singling is such an interesting place. And the Chamber of Commerce there is taken care of by Amy Carabra, and she is President CEO of the Singling Chamber. So, Amy, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Ira.
Well, let's find out a little bit about your background before we find out about Jingle All the Way. Did you grow up in the St. Lane area or where?
No, I didn't. I actually grew up on a little island in Washington State.
Oh. And, well, we had somebody from Walla Walla on earlier. So now it's we go over to the other end there by the coast there and your island. Then how did you happen to wind up in St. Lena?
So I actually have a background in media. I was a news anchor for about 15 years. And I have a journalism background, and I just knew a lot of people, and this position came up, and a couple people gave me a call, and they said, we think you would be perfect to be the president and CEO of the Chamber of Commerce. And I've been there now for over 2 years, and I love it. I think we're doing a great job in the city of
Santa. What were you doing prior to that when you heard about the opening?
I was anchoring the news.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And where was that?
I was a news anchor all over. I've been a news anchor in San Diego, in Las Vegas, in Sacramento for several years.
Mm-hmm. When you were in San Diego, have you ever heard of Kimberly Hunt down there?
I know Kimberly Hunt. Yes,
yeah.
I do.
Well, she's from Napa. She went to Vintage High School and used to be on KVON.
Yes, I actually know that. That's very funny. Yeah. It's such a small world.
Yeah, but anyway, let's find out more now about the chamber and what can you tell us about what some of the items that the chamber considers doing Up Valley.
So when I came on as president and CEO, we really wanted to do a lot of different things for the chamber. Obviously, we're the chamber, so we support all our members and our local businesses, but we also are responsible for destination marketing for the city of St. Helena. And so one of those things is bringing on more community events. So last year we launched St. Helena Jingle All the Way, and it was an eco-friendly ice skating rink. And this year we wanted to do something just a little bit different. And one of the reasons we decided to go with Napa Valley's Winter Wonderland Roller Rink and Holiday Lights in St. Helena was to draw a little bit more energy and awareness and traffic to St. Helena, because who's heard of a Winter Wonderland roller rink? It's very unique. It's very different.
So this is roller rink, not ice skating.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we put, the city and the chamber put a lot of financing and raised a lot of money to help put this event on. And the whole park, it's at Lyman Park in St. Helena, is just completely lit with lights. We have a giant 26-foot snowflake that we custom built that says St. Helena, that is right at the entrance. When you walk in, you can literally see St. Helena from space. It is so bright with lights, and this roller rink is just popping.
Well, now, is this in a building? Or do you have covering for this? Or tell us about physically what it's like.
So it is covered. We have professional tenting. I mean, this is a very professional event. What we decided to do is we partnered up with a company in the Bay Area that already has a very well-established roller rink called the Church of Eight Wheels.
And that's located where?
It's in San Francisco.
Okay.
And they basically revamped an old vintage church into this really cool, hip, trendy roller rink. And so the idea behind teaming up with them was to draw some traffic to, obviously, the Napa Valley and St. Helena. They have a huge Bay Area following. They've got a huge Sacramento following. And they, believe it or not, have a huge Napa Valley following. So to have them doing a pop-up roller rink in St. Helena has just been, I mean, it's been huge since we opened. The foot traffic downtown has been bustling. There's so much energy around the roller rink. And roller rinks, believe it or not, are becoming, they're popular again. They used to be so popular in the 50s and the 60s, right?
Yeah.
In the 70s. And now we're seeing them pop up at Coachella and Burning Man. There was a pop-up roller rink by the same company that we hired, and now they have popped up in Napa Valley.
Is it easier to roller skate than ice skate, or is there much of a difference?
I personally think it's easier to roller skate. Last year,
yeah, you got eight wheels there compared to two blades.
And I feel like there's sort of this nostalgia with it because there's so many people that I think are connected to roller skating of all ages, whether you're a baby boomer or a millennial. Mm-hmm. And we've been seeing people of all ages actually get on the roller rink, whereas last year we saw more kids and then the parents were kind of on the sidelines. Now we're seeing the whole family out on the actual skating floor. And it's great because we've...
How large a floor is that?
So it's 40 by 60. So it's bigger than last year. Last year we were just a little bit of half that. Mm-hmm. And again, it's more also about the lighting. We've got hot
How did you do this, tie the lighting in to a roller rink?
It was so much work. This was a year in planning, the city and the chamber. There's a team of three of us that have really been working incredibly hard to make this event successful. And of course, it's Napa Valley, so we have a bar that has wine and hot toddies and hot chocolate and hot apple cider.
Tell me more about this bar. So these are local wines that you have available there?
We do. So we have Cliff Family and Behringer, as well as a couple other wineries that are pouring wine, which is great. Cookies by the Station, which is a new sort of venture by Joel Gott in the St. Helena area. And so they're promoting some of their baked goods. We have a fire pit station, so families can come and hang out around several different fire pits and keep warm. And then we've got a bunch of
different... Well, you also have hot chocolate to help you keep warm.
We do. And the hot chocolate's really good. But then we also have a bunch of different activities that happen actually at the roller rink, like Disney Frozen characters, or I've got Derby team coming out on the 14th. So that's going to be really fun to see roller derby girls flying around the rink. We of course, have Santa Claus coming to the rink. We have a live DJ. It just kind of depends on the day.
Will Santa be there more than once?
Santa's going to be there three times. So that's exciting.
And when will that be, in case that people would like to bring their kids there?
So you can check out the schedule at sthelenajingle.com, and it's all listed there. It'll tell you when Santa Claus is making an appearance. Santa Claus is also making an appearance at the St. Helena Chamber of Commerce and the Welcome Center, which is right on Main Street. So we also have Santa there for free family photos, and that is on...
so you can get your picture taken with Santa.
You can, and it's really funny. A lot of people bring their pets, so you can bring your pets, the more the merrier, and come and take pictures. We have free wine also out
so
in the Welcome
actually,
Center.
There's a lot happening to just stop by. You don't have to skate.
You don't. Yeah, you don't. You can just hang out by the fire pit. stay warm and cozy, listen to the music, and just enjoy the lights, and of course have some double hot toddies.
Well, tell us about location-wise, how you came up with the location. Is it the same place as last year, or since you expanded the size, is it a different location? Or?
So it's the same place. It's still at Lyman Park, and we chose Lyman Park because the park is centrally located right off Main Street, and we're always trying to encourage those that are coming into town that are visiting to obviously support our local businesses, shop our downtown, shop our businesses, do their holiday shopping, and then come up to the roller rink and have fun in the evening, explore some of the wineries and restaurants, or you can even stay the night. You know, we've got a lot of area hotels that are also partnering with the roller rink. So if you book a room, they'll give you complimentary tickets to the roller rink. And we also have, believe it or not, a holiday trolley, which is brand new this year. And that trolley will pick you up at the area hotels and bring you to the roller
rink. Is there a charge for that?
There isn't. No, it's absolutely free.
That'd be just fun to ride on the trolley.
The trolley is super fun. It's open air. The chamber put that on as well. That's brand new this year. That was a new addition. And we're just
What about your ice igloos? Is that new to this year?
The ice igloos are the best. I'm so glad you brought that up. Those are new. Those are really unique. They're just these really cool, I call them VIP ice igloo tents because we've got some lovely furniture inside and you can go grab a glass of sparkling and basically pop into the ice igloo with your family and just enjoy.
This gets to be extensive as far as the coverage, the area.
Yeah. Well, the park is small. It's in a very, smaller space, but it's all there. You can't miss it.
And how's parking?
Parking is good. There's parking pretty much in the back or on the street. I mean, we haven't had any issues with parking at all. People just really are coming and they're actually getting a lot of the copper cane sparkling that we have, and they're just sitting back by the fire and roller skating. It's really been really great, even with the wet weather. It's been great.
Now, was this your idea as far as the holiday lights?
So there's a couple of us that kind of work together. We're a team, and so I wouldn't ever say it's anyone's just solo idea. We work together, and we knew we wanted to really have the lights kind of blow the park out of, just we wanted people to drive by and go,
what kind
oh
of lights
gosh.
Would you describe these as?
So they're all solar powered, which is so great. But I think the big showstopper piece is the 26-foot giant snowflake, which is right in front. And it's doing exactly what we strategically wanted, which now I'm putting my marketing hat on. As the CEO of the chamber, we want people to come not only for the event, but to snap a photo in front of this giant snowflake and tag us on social media. We're at St. Helena CA. That's our handle on Instagram. We have almost 20,000 followers. But the point is that we want people to be taking photos in front of this huge snowflake because it's such a show-stopping piece. And we feel it really represents St. Helena. St. Helena is a showstopper, a little town in the Napa Valley.
Yeah.
It's so unique. It's so special. And it's shining bright. And we want people to know that we're here and come visit us. And I think when you see the snowflake, you'll pull over.
Yeah. Well, it used to be that people would come to the Napa Valley to visit St. Helena or Calistoga. They go right past Napa. Now with Napa changing, now people are stopping and staying over in Napa. It's getting to be a place that is getting recognized more as a tourist destination, and still with the offerings that you have in St. Helena, that brings them up Valley too, and even Calistoga. But tell us a bit about the business aspect now in St. Helena. If things are calming down, if they're in good shape, or how you would evaluate them at the current time.
Well, it's kind of interesting that you bring up the point that you just bring up, because it's kind of a good problem to have, right? It's so great to have visitors coming to Napa in general, whether they're in Napa, Calistoga, Yountville, or St. Helena. Obviously, each little town within the area has something unique about it. So I think it's about each little city, whether it's bigger like Napa or smaller like St. Helena, to really be sort of promoting what makes us different and unique. And what's unique about St. Helena is we have such a cute, quaint, historical downtown with so many different stories to tell. Businesses that have been there for over 30 years. We've got some of the best wineries in Napa Valley, some of the most amazing dining. We've got Michelin chefs, just like a lot of the other areas. So while I, of course, love St. Helena because I'm the CEO and president of the St. Helena Chamber, I do work incredibly well with Visit Napa Valley and all the other CEOs of the other chambers to really kind of work together to help our tourism here in our area. You know, we had the fires and we had different things that were unexpected. And so we've all been working incredibly hard to just keep that buzz about all the special things that there is to offer here in the Napa Valley. And I know I'm working incredibly hard for St. Helena because our businesses, they need it. Our wineries need it. And so we have a promotional passport that we actually just launched for our area wineries that happens right now during, obviously, Cabernet season. And that passport is so great. It draws a lot of traffic to the area and to the wineries.
How do people get familiar with that or come in contact with that?
So on our website, sthelena.com, it's all there. We changed the passport this year to be strictly wineries, and we've already tripled the sales. So we're seeing more and more people coming from out of town. And what's great is they're coming and they're staying the night. They're dining at the restaurants, they're shopping, and then they're exploring the wineries. So it's really been just really, really great. The city and the chamber have been working incredibly hard together to, you know, get our downtown lit with sparkling lights for the holidays, really beef up our social media presence online and our marketing, bring influencers out to the area to show off, you know, whether it's a mom and pop business or a larger restaurant, just to really show off what we have to offer.
We're talking with Amy Carabra. She is President and CEO of the St. Helena Chamber. Do you have many rooms available as far as hotels and that type of accommodations?
So we have a good, you know, we have a decent number of hotels. Obviously, there's more hotels in other, you know, cities in the Napa Valley. But, you know, I think it's one of the reasons why we did Jingle All the Way and partnered with that trolley to give free tickets to the rink if you come and stay. So right now, with talking with a lot of the area hotels, everybody seems to be doing pretty good. And, you know, they're excited about the roller rink and the holiday festivities. We've been bringing out, like I said, a lot of influencers, which is really great to come and kind of show off your town. And I think we've been seeing foot traffic up a little bit, which has been really, really nice. Mm-hmm.
Do you consider Meadowood as far as part of St. Helena?
So I do. I do consider Meadowood as part of St. Helena. They're a member of the chamber, and I'm the CEO of the Chamber of Commerce. So 100% I do. Obviously, there's other people that may say no, but you know, they're a member of the chamber, and we support our members. And
what a great job they do out there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful property. It really is.
And they've been working on it quite a bit this past year, too.
They have. The pool is stunning. They just, you know, unveiled the new pool. It's beautiful. I can't, we have so many great properties. Mm-hmm. They're all beautiful. They're all unique. Mm-hmm. They're all different. You know, we have the Wydown Hotel, which is right downtown. We've got Harvest Inn. We've got Las Alcobas, and they all have different little unique features. So,
you have another facility that's a little bit out of town, but has the name, the St. Helena Hospital.
Yes.
What a nice facility there.
The St. Helena Hospital and the St. Helena Hospital Foundation is impressive. In fact, they actually just unveiled a new breast cancer center right in the heart of downtown, which is just been incredible. For them to be able to open that up. The hospital, it's a wonderful hospital. They do a lot of great work there. And, you know, I have nothing but good things to say about the hospital.
Well, as President CEO, that's nice.
Yeah.
You have good things to say. The thing we want to talk about and stress, though, and wrapping it up, is the huge roller rink, and I encourage people to come out and take a look at it.
Yeah, and one thing I want to mention is we try to make it really affordable. It's $8 and $12. So $8 for kids, $12 for adults. Every Thursday, the first hour, kids skate for free. So we did that so anyone can come out and your kids can skate for free the first hour on every Thursday. And like I said, for more information, you can go to sthelenajingle.com or sthelena.com. All the information's there.
Sounds like fun.
It's so much fun. You should come out. you would be great on roller skates.
How long is the roller rink going to be there?
So we're running until December 29th, and we are Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, and Sunday. So we are closed Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
And the hours that you're open?
So the hours are Thursday, Friday from 4 o'clock to 8 p.m., and then Saturday and Sundays from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m.
And the holiday lights, how long are they on?
They are on shining bright until they go out. The 29th is when they'll probably most
but
likely.
But you leave them on all night? Or
we usually leave them on. We did have a little technical glitch over the weekend because it was raining so much. We fixed that. So if they're not on, then I'm going to be up at the, you're going to see me at the park. That's what I have to say.
One final thing that we haven't touched on. I understand you're going to have carolers there too.
We are. So we're going to have carolers. Like I said, there's a huge list of activities. It's all on the website, mm-hmm. St. Helena Jingle.
Food trucks, Santa, fire pits, holiday lights, carolers. The real holiday season right there
in St. Helena. It's so much fun. The roller derby girls are going to come out. That is so great to get to see them, you know, skate really quickly on the rink. Mm-hmm. All in all, it's just a great time for family, friends, anybody can come out. You can bring your pets. It's a pet-friendly park, and warm up by the fire and roller skate.
Well, Amy, anytime you have something like this, some special activities at St. Helena, come on in and tell us about it. This is certainly a big thing, the roller rink, holiday lights, and jingle all the way. All right, we've been talking with Amy Carrabra. She is President CEO of St. Helena Chamber of Commerce. And so stay tuned because we've got a lot more good programming coming your way on KVON. This is Ira C. Smith. You've been listening to Today in the Napa Valley, your Chamber of Commerce. And we'll continue along here as we're wrapping it up, getting close to the Christmas time, and it is the holiday season. And Lauren Mall, who sets in with us during many of our Today in the Napa Valley broadcasts, been busy. He's with a singing group.
That's right. I'm with Napa Valley Voices, led by Cindy Skinner, and we're actually performing around town right now for the holidays. We're going around to different retirement homes and nonprofits, just bringing a little holiday cheer to what we call the underserved population.
Well, that's a great thing that you do. Our best to Cindy, too.
That's right.
So hopefully that you're getting into the holiday spirit, and happy holidays to you. You've been listening to Today in the Napa Valley, your Chamber of Commerce Napa Edition.